what it comes down to is number one, knowing that the one gospel that saves today, and then part two of God's will is coming unto the knowledge of the truth. And we do that by studying to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. And we rightly divide the word of truth, which is biblically defined as the gospel of our salvation. So it's important because we don't get mixed up messages about the salvation issue. That's why it's important, because there is more than one promise of salvation in your Bible. And so we need to understand that they are different. And not only that doctrine, but the doctrine, all the other doctrine that surrounds that. So people believe there's only one gospel in the Bible. They also usually believe that there's only one way to be saved in the Bible, and that can mix some people up. You know, salvation will settle a lot of things, Ark, if you're truly saved. And Sister Ness asked you a question there. Can you share with us how you are saved? And so I would, you know, there's many ways we can ask that question, but if for whatever reason you were to die today, do you know where you're going? Do you know for sure where you're going? Are you confident? That's good there. Christ came to pay the penalty. So another way of saying that, and I'll give you the Bible verses. So from the next time somebody asks you that question, you know, and I hope you're just not repeating that. See, because it's not important. You know, it's more important than just knowing those facts. Let me show you a Bible verse here. We try to let the Bible do our talking for us here. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and I'm going to emphasize some words. The verse is on your screen, so you should be able to read it along with me. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So a person hears the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we put the Bible verses, the word of God, on the screen for you. So that word hearing, after that you heard the word of truth, that brings with it the concept that you understand or you comprehend what it is that you're hearing. So the Bible says that in Romans 1:16 that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us what the gospel of Christ is, what the content of that message is. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4. In verse 1, we see the words, the gospel. Verse 2, by which you are saved. The gospel by which you are saved. So you can connect the dots back there to Romans 1:16, and we know this is the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. It's about, you know, the things that you typed in the room. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about his death. It's about his burial. It's about his resurrection. So we hear the word of truth. We understand it. We understand the message. And the message is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. There it is. Five words. Somewhere in Paul's epistles, he said something like he'd rather speak five words in a known language than to speak 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. There's five words for you. Christ died for our sins. That's good news. Paul is preaching, he's glorying in the cross of Christ. It's the death of Christ is good news because he died for our sins. See, you're hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And with that hearing comes the necessity to understand it. Welcome in, Egypt man. I'm just sharing the salvation message right on time. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Verse 4. And that he was buried and that he rose again or was resurrected the third day according to the scriptures. And we turn over to Romans chapter 4, where Paul spends the entire chapter writing about the doctrine of justification by faith. And then he ends the chapter by saying, but for us also, for us, those who believe the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, there's the resurrection. Verse 25, Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was resurrected, raised again for our justification. So there, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We hear the message. You just heard the message. Ephesians 1:13 again. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Folks, you just heard it. You hear it, and with that hearing, you comprehend it. It's more than that. Just hearing it isn't going to save you. Just understanding it, believing in the facts that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and was resurrected, that won't save you either. Believing it, and most importantly, trusting it is what's going to save you. And that word trust, that's a big deal. It's you know, people call this salvation message that we try to show people in here easy believism. There's nothing easy. It may be easy to believe the facts, but I guarantee you it's not always easy to trust in the Lord. Trust that he has paid your sin debt. And that there's nothing that you can do to add to it. See, it's not easy to stop trying and trusting in something that you do and just completely and fully trust in the Lord. I sometimes use the analogy of a drowning man. You know, you ever been to a swimming pool? I don't know where in the world you are, or a lake or an ocean or, you know, a river, right? But a swimming pool is a good analogy because they usually have a lifeguard at a swimming pool, right? And let's say somebody's at that swimming pool and they start drowning. And a drowning man is a struggling man, right? A drowning man is fighting for his life. A drowning man is trying to save himself, and he'll do anything and everything to try to save himself, and he's struggling and he's fighting. You know what? An experienced lifeguard won't go near that drowning man until he stops struggling, because it's happened so many times. Somebody dives into the water and tries to save that drowning man and ends up drowning themselves, because that drowning man is just going to yank the person that's trying to save them underwater. They're trying to claw their way out of the water. They're still trying to save themselves. They're not giving up. And that's what trust is. You got to let go. You got to quit trying on your own. And when a drowning man lets go, he may even start sinking to the bottom. And it's at that time that the lifeguard will reach down and grab hold of that drowning man and save him. So trust is a big deal. Trust is a big deal. It's not easy for everybody. I don't think it's easy for anybody, because it's our flesh, you know. Our flesh wants to think that there's something that we can do. Our flesh wants us to think that it's about us, and it's not. It's all about him. It's all about what he did. He died for you. He paid your sin debt. And he did that over 1900 years before you were even born. He did that whether you believe it or not. He did that whether you trust it or not. It's a done deal. It's been taken care of. It's a free gift. A gift cannot be earned. A gift can be accepted or it can be denied. Accept that free gift that Jesus Christ died for you and was resurrected for your justification. And you are saved, and it's a done deal. And when you, in that split second of trust, in that split second of trust, over 70 different things happen by the operation of God. And one of them is the Holy Spirit puts a seal on you, and that seal cannot be broken, no matter what. No matter what you do, no matter what you think, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Boy, old Egypt man there made a hasty retreat. He must not believe in that seal of the Holy Spirit. He must be one of those Arminians that argue for days on end about once saved, always saved. That was quick. So Arcan, trusting in the Lord is a big deal. That's right. Takes more than just believing in him. Believe on him. Believe on what he did for you and trust it. Tell another story about trust. Maybe I can play that video. Yeah, the finished work. He did it. You know, all of you, Jesus Christ died for your sins over 1900 years before you were born. All of your sins were still in the future when he died for them. All of your sins were still in the future. So how many did he not die for? He died for all of them. Trust. Trust. You guys know what a wheelbarrow is? A wheelbarrow? Can somebody type that in the room? It's one of those things that a farmer uses, a gardener uses, a construction worker uses. Barreling down the highway. Amen, Ness. All right, so there's this town, and it's a mountain town. It's a small town. And one day somebody comes running into town and says, come on out to the canyon, man. You got to see, there's some crazy dude out there. So most of the town, I'd say all the town, but not all of them, they run out to the canyon. And there's this guy out there, and he's got this tightrope. You know, like at the circus, he's got a tightrope strung across this canyon, this deep gorge. The people gather around and ask him, what you doing out here? He says, well, let me ask you a question. How many of you people believe that I can walk out across that tightrope, turn around, and come back without falling to my death? You know, some of the people there are all going there mumbling, and I don't know, it's kind of a windy day, and that tightrope, that's kind of small. I don't know you. So he says, okay, And he proceeds to walk out across that tightrope, turn around, and he cruises right back. And some people, you know, they give him a hand. He says, okay, now how about it? How many of you believe that I can walk out there and walk back? Everybody, well, we just saw you do it. So they all raise their hand. We all believe. All right. So he's got, there's a tarp there that's covering something up. And he pulls that tarp back and there's a big old construction wheelbarrow. He says, okay. Let me ask you another question. How many of you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow out across that tightrope and turn around and come back? Well, they start muttering again, you know. Well, I don't know. That wheelbarrow's pretty heavy, and the wind's picked up a little bit. The tightrope's swaying back and forth. I don't know. So what does he do? Takes that wheelbarrow, walks right out across there, turns around, and comes back. No problem whatsoever. Okay. All right. And I'm using the word believe here, folks. How many of you believe that I can take this wheelbarrow out there and come back? Well, we just saw you do it. They all raised it. I believe. I'm a believer. Says, do you really believe? Do you really believe? So he points at the little boy standing in the front. He said, asked him point blank, do you believe? And the boy says, yes, I believe. And then he says, then get in that wheelbarrow. That's the difference between belief and trust. Getting in the wheelbarrow and letting that stranger walk you out across that tightrope where one little mistake and you fall to your death. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages or the penalty of that sin is death. So trusting, getting in that wheelbarrow and trusting that you're not going to die, that you've been delivered from death, that's a big deal. Because you got to let go. You got to let go of your flesh. You got to quit trying and start trusting, as they used to say. I hope you got it, Arcan. I hope and pray you got it. I think everybody in this room is praying for you right now. We hope you got it. And then once you got it, get settled in it, my friend. Do you have yourself a Bible? Do you have yourself a King James Bible, to be specific? Well, I'm into that. You know how you get out of the flesh? How you get out of worrying about being dumb or worrying about if you need to be have an exorcism or worried about anything in the flesh? Is to focus on spiritual things. Set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things above. And that'll do it. And you know how you do that? Amen, James. You get into the Word. You get into the Word. And you pray. See, we communicate with God, and God communicates with us. How do we communicate with Him? We pray. We pray. And prayer is not an easy thing. Somebody is in here, somebody that, you know, one of our elders in here was talking about the other night when he prays. You know, and right in the middle of a prayer, your mind can wander off. I'm serious. It happens to me. Anybody that says it doesn't happen to them, unless they're doing vain repetitions. I mean, I can be praying to God about something, and the next thing I know, I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner. And the thing is, and that's your flesh. All you got to do is go touch a hot stove and see what happens. You're in the flesh. Right? And so long as we're in this flesh, we're going to do fleshly things. So, yeah, thoughts distract you. So here's the secret. pray to God. And in the middle of your prayer, if you notice that you're being distracted by your flesh, because that's what it's always going to come down to. Yeah, noises, worry, well, you know, just bring it back to your prayer. And that's how you communicate with God. How is God communicating with you? Through His Word. You see, everything that God wants humanity to know, and you're a part of humanity, everything that God wants you to know, everything that God needs you to know, has been written down in the pages of a book in a language that you can understand. And all you got to do is come to that King James Bible with the full intention that when you read those words, take it easy, Ed, grace and peace, that when you come to the Bible, you're going to believe the words on the page. That's all you got to do. Don't argue with them when you read them. Just trust them when you see them. Now I'm going to give you a recommendation, Arcan. Write these verses down, the ones I gave you. You got a pencil and paper? Romans 1:16. It reads, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Thanks, James. James is putting them in the room for you, so you'll have a visual aid to help you write these down, okay? Now, I just want you to write the verses down, and then I want you to go open your King James Bible and start reading those verses. And finally, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Well, no, one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Thanks, James. I haven't read that one to anybody tonight, so let's do it now. For he, that's a reference to God the Father, hath made him, that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, he hath made him to be sin for us. God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us on the cross. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, he was God manifest in the flesh. He was fully God and fully man at the same time. He lived a perfect sinless life under the law of Moses. He knew no sin. He didn't deserve death. But God made him to be sin for us. Why? Why did God do that? Why did Jesus Christ allow that to be done? That we, those who trust in him, might be made, we're made the righteousness of God in him. We can't make ourselves righteous in the eyes of God. We can't do it. We can't be good enough. Nobody's ever been able to be good enough to make yourself righteous in the eyes of God. We needed a Savior, and God provided one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust. Let go. Stop trying and start trusting. Romans 4:25 is one more. Okay?